Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's fucking minion, though.
Jesus Christ, this running form, losing shite. Bastard fucking can't get your fucking words out.
If you're listening to that, Sean, keep it in.
Fucking
that list of swear words pretty much sums it up, I think.
Gallows humour.
Couldn't have summed it up better myself, Rich, to be honest. Show me the way
to the next whiskey. Hello, and welcome to the Roker Report podcast in association with Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. My name's Rich Spate. And I'm joining you after Sunderland have lost their third game in a row. It was 1-0 to Blackpool at Bloomfield Road on Saturday lunchtime. And I'm joined to analyse that game and rate the players by Christopher Wynn in Sheffield. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, Rich. Weird early kickoff, innit? I've never liked early kickoffs. And we've never done well when we've kicked off early, I've just decided. It always feels weird when you've got the rest of the day to stew on it.
Absolutely, yeah, especially on a sunny day like today. And we're also joined from across the Irish Sea, opposite me, we've got Mike Dunn in Dublin. How are you, Mike?
Hello, Rich. I'd like to say I'm well, but I'm okay. I said to myself I'll be measured coming on here and not be too angry, so... just a few deep breaths and I'm feeling a little bit better now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, just to go into the misery really briefly, the result this afternoon left us 8 points behind Peterborough on the same number of games. It's left us 11 points behind Hull. We still have that one game in hand on them, but even if we won that, we'd be 8 points behind them with only four regular games in the season left. Basically, the automatic promotion has gone. Wouldn't you say that's a fair assessment, Mike?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it wasn't looking great even before today, but if you didn't think it was before today, it's definitely gone now. Three defeats on the spin. I suppose a couple of weeks ago, you would not have expected that the way we were playing. We were in fairly decent form. It's just disappointing, I suppose. As I say, it's the hope that kills you. We got ourselves into a position where we had a really good opportunity of kicking on for that maybe even that second place. But those few defeats have taken the wind out of our sails. And I think... you know, it's important that we break this duck of defeats now and get a win, because, you know, it's like you go on a momentum of a good few wins. It's also as easy to go on a run of a few defeats, and you don't really want to be sleepwalking into the playoffs, which it looks like it's definitely going to be now. It's unfortunate, but we just need to get a win now and get back on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the way, and momentum is absolutely key, isn't it, Chris? I mean, the momentum's really gone from us at the minute. We look a little bit devoid of ideas going forwards. That was my overall impression of the game. What was your take on the performance, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, just going off your point before, I mean, to Michael, I mean, there was so much emphasis, wasn't there, on the Easter weekend. Everyone was like, Easter weekend, yeah. Building it up. It was huge. And I think that must have got through the players, because, I mean, the players must have been like, well, we've got the, you know, Oxford massive game at home, get 3 points, then Peterborough, don't lose that one. We're in a fantastic position. And it's just seemed like those two games, the build-up to those two games has just it's drawn everything out of the players. And it looks like there's not much left in the tank because they gave everything over that Easter weekend. It's so bizarre. And like you said, we need to get that momentum back. And, I mean, in... in terms of the performance, again, and I've said this a couple of times, that I don't think today was hugely different to what we were doing during the time when we were winning mm-hmm. games and going on that run. I mean, we weren't blown sides away. And today, if McGeady's piece of magic had come off and we won the game 1-0, with the same performance, everybody mm-hmm. would have said, oh, we're back, this is fantastic, and we're driving for the playoffs. So it's fine lines, and especially when, I mean, we might come on to it, but the first half was two good sides working each other mm-hmm. out, and we kind of controlled most of it against a very good side away from home. It's not too different to what we've been doing. It just didn't come off today, and it's fine lines. You know, we make an individual error, we get beat. McGeady's goal could have went in, then Birch could have saved that, and it would have all been different, and everyone would have said we're back on track. It's just football, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it was a game of very few opportunities. I mean, we were talking briefly before we pressed record, and I mean, first half, very little happened. I've noted down that both teams had a big opportunity in the first half. Our chance really came when Aidan McGeady drifted in the middle and played a lovely ball over to Jordan Jones, who ran into the box from the right. It was a great ball and probably good defending in the end. We then learned that Hull had gone 1-0 down and optimism started to return to the fan base. And then
what was that word again? Optimism.
Optimism. Yeah, it was short. It was short-lived, wasn't it? But then I think Sims had a big opportunity for them. Aidan McGeady did that thing that seems to be becoming a feature of his game and giving the ball away in a dangerous area on the edge of the box. And Sims went through and wasn't able to put the ball away. But that was about it for the first half. Second half, there was a few incidents, really. There were two big chances for Sunderland. Aidan McGeady hit the inside of the post on 56 after cutting in. I mean, that ball, I don't know what you thought, Mike. I mean, it seemed to hang in the air forever, and it was like there was a breath of wind started to blow it further right, and it clipped the inside of the post and came out. That was the moment, wasn't it, Mike, in that game? That was the decisive point.
As Chris said, you know, the game could have gone the other way. If we got that goal and sat back and got the 1-0 win, we would have been delighted. Oh, it was a great opportunity by McGeady. I was listening to obviously Danny Collins, and before it went in, he goes, "Oh, and it's in!" And I jumped up and down and turned around. And I was like, "Yes, we scored!" And I looked back, and the referee had given a free out, and I was like, "For fuck's sake!" But yeah, the game changed in that moment. And obviously, after that, Blackpool went down through Garbutt and got the goal. Kind of, you would argue, maybe a mistake by Wright and Burge. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that goal for Blackpool really took the wind out of our sails, I think, a little bit. And we sort of huffed and puffed after that with a few chances, but we didn't really look like scoring particularly. And it just looked like, as you said, we looked devoid of ideas and creativity and just lacking confidence all of a sudden again. And it was just disappointing because obviously if that goal went in for McGeady, you know, this is football. Games turn on moments, and that was the big moment of the game.
I'd add to that, Michael, but I mean, we didn't look like scoring, but they didn't either. And it was one of those games where, like, it was two good sides squaring up to each other, and it was kind of a bit of a cat and mouse type of thing, you know. And we kind of had, I think first half we had 65% of possession, but neither side looked like scoring. Mm. But like you said, that 2 minutes of the game where the whole thing turned, McGeady hit the post, then they went up and scored, and that's it. That's a difference between the two sides.
I think the argument, I suppose, as well, that you need to, well, I think of anyway, is that we don't look like having another option if McGeady doesn't get a goal, like similar to Peterborough or today, or if he doesn't get a good cross in for Wyke. I mean, you bring Stewart on, who's very similar to Wyke in terms of getting balls into the box and crosses. He's okay with his feet, a little bit better than Wyke, but he's not great. We don't have a different option to bring in up front. And I don't know, I was speaking about this through the week on the website about Maguire. He's a different option. And again today, why isn't he on the pitch ahead of someone like Aidan O'Brien, who, for me, just was completely anonymous today? And it's just, we look too predictable going forward. As you said, Chris, yeah, Blackpool didn't look like scoring, but we needed to show something different when we went 1-0 down to get that equaliser, and we just didn't look like to have it.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, it's that being able to create something for yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because McGeady can. Jordan Jones should be able to, but he's not really doing it. Aidan O'Brien can't. he can't create something for himself. Charlie White can't create something for himself. And when you get into that position and you've got that many players who rely on other people to do something first, if those players, if you're kind of your McGeady's, your Joneses, if they're on firing, well, that's it. You haven't got a plan B after that point.
Exactly.
You need a Maguire, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there were, you know, one or two half chances after the Blackpool goal. I mean, Luke O'Neill had an opportunity where the ball was dropped by their goalkeeper and he couldn't quite turn quickly enough and turn it into the back of the net. And Josh Gowan had a decent shot from range on about 78 minutes, which was he actually hit really well, and I think a yard to the left, it might have gone in. Chris,
that Luke O'Neill one, did either of you two thought that the keeper held him back a little bit? I thought if he'd gone down, it might have been a penalty.
I thought it was might a tussle. I thought it was a tussle. I mean, because you've, like, they were commenting on the commentary, you see those given against the attacker.
I thought that was going to be given
nine out of 10 times. I thought it was an honest kind of contest for the ball that the goalkeeper didn't win, and yeah, I think it.
But when the ball dropped, it looked like the keeper had, like, put his arm around one side of O'Neill, and I thought at first it's going to be a penalty, but like I said, maybe just the angle and maybe hope more than anything else.
Yeah, we'll have to see it back, but I certainly don't think it was clear cut, and there weren't too many appeals from the Sunderland players. But really, the game petered out after that. We brought subs on. It didn't really change the game. And before we go on to player ratings, I just want to deal quickly with the issue of creativity, because it is an issue. We created very little in that game. We've not looked dangerous for a good while, even before the three-game losing streak. Mike, I look at the combination of Leadbitter and Scowen in midfield, and they should complement each other. I know before the game we were saying that, you know, it should be a good match in the middle, but it doesn't seem, our chances don't come through there. I think Danny Collins said something before the game as well, as we're not creating chances through the middle. And I was just interested in both of your thoughts about that issue of creativity, really, throughout the side, but particularly in the middle.
Yeah, I actually, to be honest, I thought Leadbitter played quite well today. I didn't think he had a bad game, but I think Scowen, I think I wrote in our WhatsApp group, I think Scowen's playing well first 10, but after that I thought he was awful. I changed my mind fairly quickly on that one. He just, you know, he loses the ball way too often. I mean, we're not going to create if we don't have a midfielder who can string passes together. I think it's sort of an issue in terms of, obviously, we've lost 09 around there. Power is right back, and it's constant chopping and changing in terms of the midfield duo. On top of that, obviously, I think, you know, we were talking, that Chris was saying at the start about, you know, we're not playing differently to what we were playing before, but, you know, we had moments where McGeady was scoring and playing well, probably better than what he is now. Jones was playing better than what he is now. White was scoring goals, but we are one-dimensional. We are, get the ball to the wings, to McGeady and Jones, get the ball into box. White will score a header. He might not score. It's quite easy to play against, especially when you have two centre-halves that Blackpool have today, who are two big, strong lads who can deal with White. And then there's the issue of the number 10 role, where I think is just scandalous at this stage now. Three games in a row of defeats, and Chris Maguire hasn't given one opportunity to play in the 10 role that he can play better than Aidan O'Brien. I was kind of focusing on O'Brien today, and for a 10, he was trying to come out to the wing to play 1-2s with the wingers and the fullbacks. Balls were going in the box. Wyke was isolated on his own. I just think there's a breakdown there between midfield and that kind of 10 position, where there's no one linking the play in between the two to create the opportunities for the striker either. So I think Johnson, it's something he really needs to look at going into the next couple of weeks, especially into the playoffs, because goals, we need, like, those games will be on one or two goals, and we don't look like scoring at the moment. I mean, McGeady got the free kick against Peterborough, and was it Scowen's random header against Charlton was just something out of nothing, you know. We're breaking down creativity wise, and I just think there needs to be changes there, and it's something Johnson really needs to look at for the next few weeks.
Yeah, Chris, what's your point?
Yeah, just on your point, I mean, you talked specifically about Scowen and Leadbitter, and it's a bit of a pattern with our, if you think of it as a midfield kind of four that we've got the options for to play centrally. We've got Max Power, obviously moved to fullback for reasons, you know, from the injuries and things. But then we've got Scowen, we've got Leadbitter, and we've got Winchester. Now, for me, I mean, I think Scowen's got the best engine out of the four, but for me, we've got four players who are fairly similar in terms of they none of them get forward. None of them are attacking midfielders. None of them are creative midfielders. Leadbitter is a kind of a quarterback who you could say is creative from deep, but he starts things. He's not the man on the end of, you know, he plays the final ball or he takes it the man on and slides someone through. That's not Leadbitter's game. And Winchester's a similar player. Max Power's a similar player. You're not going to get goals from those four. And I think we've got a plan around them to say, right, okay, well, we play two of those, control the game, get the ball wide to our creative players in terms of McGeady's, the Jones, Maguire's, when if and when he plays, Michael. And then they do the business. Now, like I said earlier, if they're not doing the business, then we've got a problem that O'Brien and for me, Wyke, today they work their socks off, but neither of them are mobile enough to create anything or get into positions or get in behind or anything like that. So you're kind of stuck. You kind of say, well, we can't do anything else. You've just got to keep going with the same game plan. And our plan B was to throw Stewart on and throw high balls into the box, which hasn't worked yet as a plan.
No, it hasn't. So let's fly into these player ratings then. Chris, I'm going to come straight back to you because I gave you Lee Burge before the match. I think it's a quick one, isn't it?
Yeah. He made a couple of saves that you'd expect him to. Like, and but the goal, he was at fault for the goal. I mean, I did teeter on maybe giving him, being a bit harsh on this, but I gave him a 5 on the side. Maybe I could have went down to a 4 for that goal. But yeah, he'll be disappointed with that.
Yep. I think you've been generous. Anyway, yeah. Mike, Callum McFadden, not left back today, should have been sent off. Was subbed instead.
Yeah, thank God. But it was a mixed bag, you know. First half, I was looking at it, and Mitchell was a kind of tricky customer starting off. He was getting the better of him and obviously got that yellow card for a stupid foul that didn't even need to be done if he was just awake, which he should be. But after that, he kind of, as the first half went on, he kind of linked up well with McGeady and he was getting forward a good bit, which was kind of causing a couple of problems down that wing. But then defensively again in the second half, he should have been sent off for a stupid foul again, which he didn't. And thankfully Johnson took him off after that. But I kind of, like same with Chris, I could have been harsh. I went for a 5 out of 10 for today. He probably would have got a 6 if he was kind of continuing his performance from the first half. But no, I think a 5 is probably fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I've got Luke 9 here. I thought actually, particularly in the first half, but throughout the game, he brought the ball out from the back really well. His kind of passing was crisp in terms of breaking their press. I didn't think he looked troubled at any point, really. Him and Wright seemed to switch from left centre back to right centre back quite a bit. And then he had that one cleared offline. I can't really fault his performance. I actually thought it was quite good. And I've given him a 7, which is probably the highest mark I've given anyone, to be frank. I'm not sure he was standout, but I didn't see where I could knock him down from his half-time 7. So I'll come over to you, Chris, for Max Power.
A typical Max Power performance, really. But just pretty solid defensively. I can't really remember him getting done. A couple of times though, and I kind of feel sorry for Max Power at times because he's not a right back. He's just not a right back. And there was times where he was trying to get up in support of Jordan Jones, and then he would stop and go, oh, hang on, is this what I do? Or do I go on the overlap? Do I come inside? Do I wait behind him? And you know, sometimes people who play fullback or this like specialist positions, they learn over 5, 6, 7 years, learn their trade there. And he's played the odd game for Wigan, but he's not a right back. And when the ball came to him from like deep positions to cross in from Jordan Jones, he kept hitting the first man and things like that. But otherwise, he was fairly solid. So he got a 6 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I knocked a mark off him just because the crosses although they were okay, never really went in the most dangerous areas. But anyway, yeah. Mike, Bailey Wright at the heart of the defence.
Yeah, similar to 09, I thought he was actually quite solid. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He won really good defensive header, I think it was only 5-6 minutes in, from across from Mitchell. I think Yates was just standing right behind him. I think that would have been a clear goal had he not have gotten to that. His distribution through the game, I thought, was fairly okay. It was decent enough. He's composed on the ball. He had a good battle with Sims there. They're kind of two big fellas. They were kind of cancelling each other out a little bit. And he was commanding them when the balls came into the box. Probably made a mistake for the goal. Well, he did make a mistake for the goal. He kind of swung a leg at it. And I kind of question whether him swinging a leg of it nearly distracted Burge when the ball got to him a bit. I'm not sure. But other than that kind of moment, I thought he was solid enough, and I was kind of swaying towards a 5. I thought that was a little harsh, so I've given him a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I went that one mark lower. I think I've gone a one mark lower than both of you on nearly everyone today.
Maybe this is unlike you, Rich.
It really is. But,
you're pissed off, Rich.
Well, it was just, you know, I'd actually marked them quite well at half time, and then just kind of it dropped away, didn't it?
Lost
and,
the head.
And on that, I'll take my Grant Leadbitter again, because I thought he played really, really well in the first half. Like Chris said, he was absolutely dominant. I know on the player ratings on the site, you said he was, you know, absolutely at the centre of everything and the best player on the park. It faded though in the second half. Again, I think Danny Collins was saying he was forcing it. There just isn't that spark of creativity there. I'm not saying it's his fault. He's trying to do stuff, but it's not working, so I've given him a 6, which I'm sure Chris is going to disagree with because he put him as man of the match on the website. Chris, I'll come to you though for Josh Gowan.
Yeah, another like frustrating one from Josh Gowan, and he flips from thinking, oh, he's doing okay here, and then next minute you go, oh no, he's giving the ball away again, and then he wins it back, and you think, oh, he's doing all right, and he's just so like that. He's frustrating as a player in possession. You think he's getting into a good position here with the ball. Go on, drive with it, and he'll end up giving away possession again. And you just end up getting a bit frustrated with him. But then his work rate is so good. You think, oh, he's important to the side. In the end, his kind of giving away the ball just kind of got on my nerves a little bit, and I've given him a 5.
Yeah, I think you've been quite generous. But there you go. I have my marks have been really harsh. I'm just working that out. And I'm glad I'm not marking O'Brien, because I've marked him really lowly as well. But it's with you, Mike, for Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah, really, really frustrated me today. Doesn't offer enough. Like, I mean, I have 20 minutes in, absolutely non-existent. I think I said it to you too as well. Has he even touched the ball in the first 20? He looks lost in number 10. Like, I don't know if he even knows how to play it well. His link-up play is really poor. He gets into decent positions, gives the ball away. His first touch is poor. It lets defenders bite. You needed him closer to Wyke, more central, someone to link up the midfield and the attack, what I was saying earlier on. He's a complete enigma. He came from Millwall last year with a really decent reputation and has dropped down a league and looks worse. He looks like he should be in League 2 at times, really. I'm completely surprised he got 75 minutes and he's not a 10. Please stop playing him there. I'm really annoyed.
Michael, on that,
yeah.
What is he? Because I can't work out what he is. You've said he's not a 10, but what is he?
I think he's a poor man centre forward. Like I think he's a poor version of Charlie Wyke, to be honest. He doesn't get enough goals. Like, I mean, he doesn't have the pace to play in the positions on the wings either side of the striker. He's not good enough in the 10, is he? Like he's not doing enough in that position. So he just shouldn't really be starting for me at the moment. He doesn't look like in form at all. I've given him a 4 today, and I think that's nearly being generous.
I went with you 4, and just to add to the comments on O'Brien, because I do think it's an important position in the side, actually, when we aren't creating. And in terms of what he is, I think it was on 5 minutes, the ball was, a beautiful ball was played over to him. He was on, you know, left of the penalty spot in the box. And a better player would have controlled it, beat his man and scored. Mm-hmm. And the ball bounced off him. And it just set the tone, I think, for his performance. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. I'll move on to Aidan McGeady. I didn't think he was involved very much early on. He did his thing of giving the ball away in dangerous positions, but he was at the centre of everything that we did and obviously had the best opportunity and almost scored. I mean, when it hits the inside of the post and bounces out, that, you know, you are millimetres away from the ball or just the spin on the ball away from it going in into the goal and probably winning us the game. But because of the frustrating elements of his game, I've given him a 6, which I know everyone's going to think is pretty harsh, and we can talk about a man of the match as well. Chris, Jordan Jones.
Yeah, and Jordan Jones, I've probably been a bit, you're probably going to say again, I've been generous on the site. I gave him a 6 because he had a lot of the ball in the first half, and he was just really frustrating because at times he beat the man, and at times he got into good positions and he put some decent balls into the box. And I think sometimes he was suffering from the fact that he only had Wyke to aim for. And sometimes when he put the ball in, sometimes blind because he was taking the player on, he was putting it into good positions, but there was just nobody there. So I kind of felt a bit sorry for him. On the other hand, he should have done better with that ball from McGeady. It was an amazing ball from McGeady, and he should have done better. I gave him a 6. Maybe on reflection, I've been generous. I could have maybe given him a 5, but he was around the 5 or 6 mark.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Mike, Charlie Wyke, not really much to say, I would say.
No, I've again, like with Chris saying, but John, I felt sorry for Wyke. I just thought he was a bit isolated. First half, you know, the Blackpool front four were pressing us really high and the defenders were just kind of succumbing to long balls that were kind of aimless. And he was coming up against Ballard and Gredison, who are quite decent centre-half. So they kind of got on top of him. He had a couple of half chances throughout the game. But other than that, he really didn't get involved in the game enough. And I think that, obviously, I'm not going to go into it again. It stems from that issue of the link-up play from behind him. And the crossing into the box wasn't probably at a level where it would give him an opportunity to get his head on the ball. So, yeah, felt sorry for him. It's not particularly his fault, in my opinion. I've given him a 5 for today. One of those days.
Yeah, fair enough. I've gone with the same. I'll quickly run through the subs. Denver Hume was first to come on 64 for McFadzean. He seemed to play reasonably well. I've given him 5.5, 6. Ross Stewart came on, looked like he was laying the ball off well to begin with, but somehow was managing to get out jumped at times. And I don't know how that is even physically possible. I've given him a 5. Jack Diamond came on at the same time as Ross Stewart. Didn't offer that much. I thought he had the opportunity to do something good on the right of the box and kind of let the ball go under his feet and had to check back on the one occasion he was in a dangerous position. A 5. It's not really fair to Lyndon Gooch being brought on 62 minutes to give him a... 92 minutes to give him a mark. So I'll get your nominations for Man of the Match. I can imagine we might have 3 different players here. I'll come to you first, Chris.
Yeah, I had Grant Ledbetter. I just thought first half, he just completely controlled the game. He was the best player on the park by a country mile. Didn't give away possession, just oozed class when he had the ball. Kept us ticking over. Made sure that we were in control of the ball. Main reason why we had 65% possession in that first half. But like you said, tailed off, but then so did all of them, basically.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mike?
Yeah, same as Chris. Grant Ledbetter for me as well. Showed composure on the ball, showed his game experience, his intelligence, took the ball by the horn, sprayed the ball well, and, you know, just kept the game going for us. It was kind of... It was just a shame, really, that we didn't maybe make more of the possession that we had at the time at times in the first half. But that's not really anything to do with Ledbetter's fault. He had a good display today, and he always kind of he comes up trumps in the big games, I think, as well, which is it shows the kind of the standard he's at. So yeah, a good game from Ledbetter today.
Yeah, I didn't have him as my man of the match, but 2 out of 3, it's Grant Ledbetter's title today. So finally, lads, really quickly and finally, rate the manager. Lee Johnson, I have given him a 4, which you might think is a little bit controversial. I just don't think he is managing to change this downturn in our form. I think we're making the same errors at the back, and we're making the same errors in terms of our lack of creativity. Now, argue with me on this one, Mike, if you want. What did you rate him as?
4, probably a little harsh in my opinion. I might go maybe a 5 or 6, not much better than what you said, but I agree with you. He isn't, and it's kind of the saying, it's the same shit different day, isn't it? Like, I mean, we're going into the games with the same kind of style of play, and he's kind of, we haven't changed anything. Nothing's changed from the say even the Peterborough game to today in terms of the way we're playing, and you can argue even further back. In terms of today's performance, you could probably pose questions about the team selection. Should he have played Hume ahead of McFadzean? Before the game, we were saying, well, we don't know how Hume is physically in terms of his fitness because he's only back. But watching McFadzean today, he was fairly horrendous again. I actually, you know, generally, I'm kind of happy that he makes the 4 substitutes at once. Today, he didn't, and I was kind of questioning his decisions. He brought Stewart on, obviously, I didn't think was much different to what we were doing. You know, same thing, just putting crosses into a big fella in the box. And I would have, obviously, I'm not saying it again, I've obviously would have preferred someone else in that number 10 role. Yeah, creativity's not great. I have another 5 out of 10.
Yeah, and Chris Johnson, am I being really harsh?
I think not really, really harsh. I didn't disagree with anything you lad said. I mean, yes, it's been a problem, but it's a problem of the players we've got. Like I mentioned with the midfield 4, that we've only got a certain type of player to select from in the middle. And, you know, we've got 2 wide players who, in theory, have just hit a bad patch. And when they were in a good patch, the moments were coming off for them, whereas they're not now. I mean, like I said, this whole game hinged on 2 minutes just before the hour where, you know, McGeady hit the post and they went up and scored. And it was an individual error why they scored. We looked comfortable before then. Unless it was an individual error from us, I didn't see Blackpool scoring all afternoon. It didn't threaten us at all. We controlled most of the game. We were the better side. First off, I thought we looked a level above Blackpool, to be honest. It was 2 good sides facing each other up, and I thought we played well. And if you think of the form that Blackpool's been on, which is a ridiculous run, they're probably on form, like the one of the top sides in the division. And we've gone away to them, and I think we've been unlucky not to come away with anything, really. I mean, yes, the creativity, don't get us wrong, we've mentioned it already. You guys have mentioned it. I completely agree. That's an issue. But the big moments were coming off for us a month ago, and I don't think we should get too downhearted and saying it's all gone to shit, you know, we're playing crap, because I don't think we are. I think we're at a similar level. It's just the big players aren't coming up with the big moments as often, and they're just hitting a little bit of a wobble. So I gave him a 6.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, that's a 2-point spread between the 3 of us, so I don't think anyone's gone too high or too low there. So we've got Hull on Tuesday. I mean, now it's about building for the playoffs, getting our form back, getting ready for those games in the middle and end of May, basically. I can't see us not making the playoffs. There's quite a long way back to Charlton, who are just outside the top 6. So, yeah, thanks for your time this afternoon, lads, and keeping it nice and cheery despite the the terrible run of 3 games lost in a row. So all that's left to say is thanks for listening, and give us a rating on your podcatcher of choice and a share on your social media, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.